a show. So thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you all. And thank you, Nathan Moore from Eugene. That was nice of you to call in. And that's it for tonight. Thank you. Join us next week.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the other September 11th, film screening and discussion about the lasting impacts of the U.S.-funded military coup in Chile on September 11th, 1973. The event will take place on Friday, September 11th at 7 p.m. at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in Portland. This film screening will include two 30-minute documentaries that focus on Mapuche land reclamation and language revitalization, as well as a discussion with the filmmaker about the specific laws that have been used to target the indigenous Mapuche people since the dictatorship began in 1973. Again, that's the other September 11th, on Friday, September 11th, at 7 p.m. at Fifth Avenue Cinema, 510 Southwest Hall Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. I'm Karen James. My guest tonight is Gretchen Vella from Oregon Cure. Welcome, Gretchen.
Thank you, Karen, for having me on the Prison Pipeline show.
So tonight we're going to talk about Pell Grants. Recently, the Obama administration announced a new federal grant program to pay for college for state and federal prisoners. Congress banned prisoners from being eligible for Pell Grants in 1994. But first, Gretchen, tell us about Oregon Cure.
Oregon Cure is actually, CURE is an acronym for Citizens United for the Rehabilitation of Errants. It's very old-fashioned phraseology, but it was coined in the early 70s. The founders of CURE were protesting against the war in Vietnam. They ended up going to jail in Texas, and upon release, they said, oh my gosh, people who go to jail aren't treated very well. We better do something about this. So that started the CURE ball rolling. Charlie and Pauline Sullivan stayed in Texas for about 10 years, and then they moved to Washington, D.C., so they could advocate for people in jail and prison at a national level. Oregon CURE began in the early 90s, and we are, I think it's important to note here, we are an all-volunteer organization. The entire organization is grassroots from the bottom up. No one is paid a salary. We're all working out of our homes and on our free time to advocate for people in prison at the state level, the county level with Department of Corrections, and also at the national level. Specifically, what we're doing in Oregon is we have three main focal points for the organization here. We work closely with Department of Corrections and provide intake orientations for family members who have a loved one who's first going into the prison system. It's a really frightening experience, and we want to explain to people what the procedures are, the testing that people go through, and try to take a little bit of the fear out of the whole experience for the family members. It's proven that the more family contact someone in prison has, the better off they'll be during the incarceration period and also upon release. The second thing we do is we have several support groups throughout the state. So while your loved one is in prison, this gives people on the outside an opportunity to network and connect with other people who are in the same situation. The third thing we do is we work with community corrections and facilitate release orientations, again, for family members to explain the terms and conditions of post-prison supervision. As frightening as it is when your loved one goes into the system, when your loved one is released, there's every bit as much worry and concern about where they're going to live, where they're going to work, and just reacclimating to our community.
And these are statewide, correct?
Well, right now we have groups in Eugene, Salem, and Portland.
So intake orientations for family members and friends of people new to the Oregon prison system.
Correct.
And then support groups for family members and friends of people inside. And then also release orientations so people can learn what their loved one will be going through as they reenter their community.
Correct. And it's all about educating people who are going through this experience. It can be very difficult to know who to call, who to contact, how you're supposed to manage this chapter of your life. So we really hope to put people in touch with community corrections and Department of Corrections so they know who they can call and who they can talk to, and also to get support from people who are going through the same issues.
And Gretchen, how long have you been doing this work personally?
Oh my goodness, I have been doing this since 2005.
And we'll talk a little bit later about why you became involved with Oregon Cure.
All right.
So Gretchen, President Obama just visited a federal prison and he wanted to shine the spotlight on mass incarceration and bring attention to the need for reform in the criminal justice system. His administration also announced that he would like to allow Pell Grants for prisoners. Gretchen, what is a Pell Grant?
A Pell Grant is basically it's a student loan that does not have to be paid back. Pell Grants have been banned for people in prison, but not for low-income students on the outside. The reintroduction of Pell Grants would allow people in prison to take college-level courses. I believe that if a person is able to get the Pell Grant, the time period would run for 2 years, and the person would have available to them per year just under $6,000, and that would pay for tuition and books for people. Well, most of us who are involved in this work were really encouraged by President Obama going into a federal facility. I think the acknowledgement that there is a problem with mass incarceration and to have President Obama see it firsthand and actually talk to people who are in prison is huge. President Obama is actually the first sitting president to visit a federal prison. After his visit, he came to the conclusion that we need to equip people who are incarcerated with the skills they need to successfully reenter our communities. This can actually be one of the most powerful and cost-effective tools to ensure that they will not return to prison.
And Gretchen, when we talk about cost, these Pell Grants would award a person $6,000 a year, and that's for tuition and books and college expenses. How much does it cost to incarcerate a person per year in the Oregon system?
Oh my gosh, thank you for asking that question. Right now it costs about $38,000 a year to have someone in custody in the Oregon Department of Corrections. So when you look at the scale, $38,000 to incarcerate, $6,000 to assist someone in getting an education so they won't return to prison. And Karen, you had a really good statistic about people who received an education while they were in prison. And I am just going to use your information. So thank you very much. While nationwide, 43% of formerly incarcerated individuals are likely to return to prison within 3 years of release, the likelihood that they would return drops to 5.5% for bachelor's degree recipients and less than 1% for master's degree recipients. When someone who has been in prison gains employment, they are far less likely to rely on public assistance and much less likely to return to prison and cost the taxpayers that $38,000 per year. So education works.
Sounds like a no-brainer to me.
It does to me too. Let's see if we can't get our people to vote on this.
Why did it take 21 years for someone to come to the conclusion that this would be a good thing?
We've been through decades of being tough on crime, and being tough on crime and imposing longer sentences on people really doesn't do anything to affect the recidivism rate. It just keeps people in prison for longer time periods and costs us more money. We need to definitely interrupt criminal behavior, but we need to figure out a way to give people options of things that they can do when they get out, so again, they don't return to the criminal behavior that led them to prison in the first place.
So, Gretchen, let's turn to your personal story. You had a loved one in the Oregon prison system for a little over a decade?
Correct.
What educational opportunities were available to your loved one during that decade in prison?
Well, my son was actually very fortunate. He was able to take a class. It was Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace or something. And he found out that he really liked to study and he liked to learn. And this is when he'd been away from school for maybe 7 or 8 years or so. And from there, he decided to take a Spanish class because Spanish is a very important language for people in the United States to know now. And then he was so encouraged by that experience that he applied for a program called the Business Construction Technology Course. It's put on with Treasure Valley Community College, which is in Ontario. So my son was at Snake River for 8 years. You have to be within a certain time period of release to take part in some of these programs. And while I'm so appreciate the fact that he was able to get into this program, the statistic that just breaks my heart is that with 3,000 men at Snake River, there are only 30 openings for this program every year. So the waiting list is long.
And what about the cost of his classes?
We paid for the Spanish class that he took. And again, that was in association with the community college. And the Business Construction Technology course was no cost to my son. It was provided by Department of Corrections in conjunction with Treasure Valley Community College.
So there are some programs and some classes in the Oregon prison system. What additionally would this Pell Grant do?
Well, what the Pell Grant would do is it would open up all types of classes to people in prison. So there are a lot of things that would have to be worked out at the prison level, at the state level, and trying to figure out how to organize the courses. And you would need an instructor to come in possibly, or maybe do them online. So there are issues that definitely have to be worked out. At this point in time, the Obama administration is recommending that Pell Grants be reinstated to people in prison. However, the administration needs congressional approval in order to get it passed. So while we're waiting for that, it is under the umbrella of the Committee of Education and Workforce, I believe. And they'll run pilot programs to verify the cost effectiveness and actually the effectiveness of the program.
So what other opportunities for higher education are there available currently in the Oregon prison system?
It's probably going to vary by facility. I know that at OSP, there has been a very generous anonymous donor who has paid for courses for people who are at Oregon State Penitentiary and have been able to take part in classes through Chemeketa Community College. And I think the benefit of being in Salem is you've got a lot of opportunities and a lot of volunteers who are going into the facility, which you may not get at some of the outlying prisons.
And that's what I was wondering, money from the DOC versus private donations or, you know, other organizations that are coming in and providing these classes and educational opportunities to the prisoners. Do you know any of the others that are not DOC funded that are in some of the prisons?
It's been a little bit tricky trying to get programs introduced into the prison system. As the budgets are slashed, private contractors seem to be getting the short end of the stick. So while there were several programs offered at one point in time, they seem to be vanishing. People with shorter sentences are usually just the door opens for them when they go in and the door opens when they go out, and there are very few educational opportunities for them to have. If they're fortunate enough to be in a minimum security facility, there are transition programs available for them, but not really anything that would provide a work skill or a marketable skill upon release.
And if you just tuned in, you are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, and I'm talking with Gretchen Valla from Oregon Cure. And I would like to make an announcement about an event that is happening on Labor Day, September 7th. It is the annual Hands Across the Bridge 2015. Gretchen, you want to give some information about that?
I would love to tell you a little bit about that. It was started about 12 years ago by two women in recovery, Patty Katz and Louise Wedge, and they put together this idea that that people in recovery would link hands across the I-5 bridge. So there's a group of people in Washington, a group of people in Oregon, and actually the events start taking place at 10 o'clock in the morning, but around 11:30, quarter to 12 or so, thousands of people will meet in the middle of the I-5 bridge, join hands, say the serenity prayer, and celebrate their recovery. There will be people in the group who have maybe been sober for one day up to maybe even 50 years or so. When the event first started in the early aughts, there were maybe 100 people at the event, and it's grown now to about 3,000 people will be there. They add up like all the years that people have been in recovery, and it's like a million. It's really quite a fabulous event. And there will be lawmakers there from the Oregon side and then also from the Washington side.
Thank you, Gretchen. Again, that's Hands Across the Bridge, I-5 Bridge, September 7th, 10 a.m. So, Gretchen, why is offering educational opportunities in prison important?
I believe our communities have a serious misunderstanding about what the Department of Corrections does. At this point in time, people go to prison. There are, as I mentioned, there are very few programs available to people who are in prison, and they're in for longer periods of time, and it's just costing more money. There seems to be a thought process that locking people up for longer periods of time will keep our community safer. And locking people up for longer periods of time does not keep our community safer, but teaching people who go to prison, teaching them new skills, marketable skills where they can earn a living wage, will keep our community safer when people get out, if they can get employment and earn a living wage and provide for themselves, they won't return to the criminal behaviors that led them to prison in the first place.
So you said this is a pilot program. And do you know which institutions around the country will be selected to participate in this pilot program?
I don't know, but I would like to encourage people to visit the Oregon Cure website, www.oregoncure.org. For additional information, there's some action that everybody can take about this issue by contacting our representatives. So again, please visit our website and you will get information on just how to do that.
Because President Obama himself cannot lift this ban on Pell Grants without congressional approval, as you said, Gretchen. And there is a bill and a bill number. It's H.R. 2521. It will be linked to the Prison Pipeline website, webpage on kbu.fm/prisonpipeline. And contact your legislators. Your senators are Senator Wyden and Senator Jeff Merkley. Earl Blumenauer actually has co-sponsored. He is the only Oregonian who has already co-sponsored HR 2521. So give Earl Blumenauer's office a call and thank him for that.
And actually, Suzanne Bonamici is sitting on the committee that will work on the pilot program. So she's on the Committee of Education and Workforce. So she would be a really good person to contact to ask her to sign on as a co-sponsor for this bill.
And Gretchen, give your Oregon Cure website one more time.
www.oregoncure.org. OREGONCURE. Karen, another thought about President Obama visiting a federal facility is that I think it's very important that our lawmakers actually visit prisons and see what they're like, talk to some of the people, maybe find out why they're there, how long they're there, and get a sense to how our prisons are actually run. They need to see this firsthand. I think we're very encouraged by the fact that Governor Kate Brown visited Coffee Creek for one of the children's events in the middle of July, and I believe she's the first governor to actually visit a prison facility. Our lawmakers need to see firsthand the people who are in prison, learn a little bit about the programs that they do have and don't have. And the one thing I need to say here is that Oregon State Penitentiary is over 150 years old. It's a hot building. There are up to 5 levels in each of the buildings. And when the temperature gets to be 100 degrees or so on the outside, it's 100 degrees or so on the inside. A couple of years ago, the assistant director of Department of Corrections, Mitch Morrow, came into one of our Oregon Cure support groups, and I believe it was March at the time, and he said that he had invited in several lawmakers to come into Oregon State Penitentiary and visit the tiers and kind of get a feel for what it was like. And I asked him to, oh no, please don't invite them in March. Please wait until August 15th when it's 115 degrees out right. and have them spend the night
yes.
and
yes.
see how much rehabilitation goes on when you can't breathe.
Yes, yeah. A lot of issues with our current system.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gretchen, any Oregon Cure events upcoming?
Yes, Karen, actually there is. We are going to be holding our annual meeting for our membership and for anyone from the general public who would like to attend on Monday evening, October 19th. It will be from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Beaverton City Library. For additional information, again, one can visit our website to get specifics about this event. But what we're planning on doing this year is we're going to be inviting in several service organizations that actually assist people upon release. So this will be with basic needs. So employment, housing, clothing, health care needs. Basically, we'll have somebody there to sort of run the gamut and explain once again to family members what they can expect that their loved one will face upon release.
And where to get those services that they need.
Correct. There are several organizations have put together resource directories, and organizations kind of come and go, and it can be difficult to really for family members and for people to know where they go to get this kind of assistance. POs have so much information, but they don't have everything. So what we're hoping to do is pull together the people that actually coordinate people's care when they get out. And we're hoping to have maybe 6 to 10 or so different service organizations there, and then also people from Department of Corrections to talk about the different programs that are available when people are inside prison. If someone is fortunate enough to go into a minimum security facility before release, then there are transition programs available, but there isn't room for everyone to take advantage of these programs.
So that date again?
October 19th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Beaverton City Library.
And again, go to OregonCure.org to learn more information.
Thank you.
Give a little recap again of the Pell Grants.
I think this is some of the most important legislation that's come across in maybe since they first pulled it back in 1994. So by reinstating Pell Grants to people in prison, I want to throw in here. So Pell Grants have continued to be available to people with low incomes or people who can't afford to go to college. And basically what the Pell Grant is, it's money that you do not have to pay back if you can prove your low income. And you know what? Everybody who's in prison can prove their low income. For the amount of wages that people make, they will totally be eligible to get a Pell Grant from the U.S. government. Obama has recognized the need to educate people who are in prison. The recidivism rates drop dramatically when people have any additional higher education. And plus, it allows people to do something different, to open the door of opportunity when they're released from prison, to change their ways, to have something else to do upon release instead of returning to whatever behaviors led them to prison in the first place.
And again, they're not going to be widely available yet. This is just a pilot program. This has to be voted in by our legislators in D.C. The amount that will be available if this is passed will be $5,775 per year for tuition costs, books. It just opens the door for prisoners and higher education.
So, Karen, we need to take action, and we need everybody who's listening to this show to take action. Visit the KBOO website, visit the Oregon Cure website, get additional information on who you can contact, and please, you can call, you can email, you can snail mail a letter, but contact our legislators and let them know how important this is to you and to the state and in lowering our recidivism rate.
You have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO. I want to thank my guest, Gretchen Valla of Oregon Cure. Thank you so much, Gretchen.
Thank you, Karen, for having me on the show.
And that Oregon Cure website, one more time.
www.oregoncure.org.
Thank you again, Gretchen. You have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to our engineers, Danielle and Mike. Good night.
Wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all chains still binding me, yeah. Wish I could say all the things that I can say when I'm relaxed. I'd be starting anew. I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. Don't leave me. How sweet it would be to find that I could fly. I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. Then I'd sing, 'cause I know how it feels to be free. Then I'd sing, 'cause I know how it feels to be free. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Wish I could break all the things that bind us apart. Wish you could know what it means to be me. And you'd see, you'd agree, everybody should be free. 'Cause
'cause if we ain't, we're murderous. Wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be. It's moving now.
Dear KBOO listeners, I have one simple question for you. What is your favorite Hank Williams song? We are dedicating our September 12th Swingin' Country program to the music of Hank Williams, and we would like your input. We are calling it All Things Hank Considered, just to annoy the good people at National Public Radio. So please email us at program@kboo.org and tell us your favorite song by Hank Williams or your favorite song about Hank Williams, and we will play it on the September 12th Swingin' Country Show right here on your community radio station. Once again, that email is program@kboo.org. So tune in September 12th at 6 a.m. as we solemnly pledge to play Hank, all Hank, and nothing but Hank. So help me God.
Alone and forsaken by fate and by man. Oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold my hand.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present Who is Gil Scott-Heron as part of the We Real Cool Jazz Series at the Clinton Street Theater Thursday, September 17th at 7 p.m. Who is Gil Scott-Heron is a portrait seen through the eyes of those who love Gil, his friends, his family, and the musicians he plays.